Well, good morning, everybody. We have been doing a series through the Gospel of John, and it's been a wonderful series. I hope you've loved it. I certainly have learned so much. And one of the things that we've seen in the Gospel of John is many very interesting, fascinating characters. I mean, you might remember we started out and we were introduced to Andrew and Peter and some of the early disciples of Jesus. And then we were introduced to this guy named Nicodemus, and what an interesting character he is. And we're going to see him later in the Gospel of John as well. And then we met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that we've all heard so much about. And then we met this man who for 40 years had been unable to walk, and he sat by the pool of Bethesda waiting for the angels to cause the waters to stir so he could jump in and possibly be healed. We've met all kinds of interesting characters in the Gospel of John. Well, today, I would like to do something a little bit different, and I would like to introduce to you another character from the Gospel of John. And I've gotten to know this character this week quite well and learned a lot from him. And so I wanted to introduce him to you in person. This is the testimony of a blind man. You're probably wondering what these are. They really mean absolutely nothing to you, but they mean everything to me. They represent to me my ability to see. You see, what you need to understand is that for most of my life, I lived in complete darkness. I never sat in wonder and saw the setting of the sun. I never was able to even see a small child smile. I never gazed at a beautiful woman. If you've read your Bible, you know me as the man who was born blind. The fact of the matter is, I had a name. It never shows up in the Bible, but my name is Celedonius. And I've come to learn that I was blind in more ways than one. Now today, your medical doctors, they have all kinds of fancy terms for my condition, like congenital amaurosis or something like that. In my day, it was much more simple and more cruel as well. It was said for a man like me that my condition was caused by sin. You may wonder about that. I mean, if I was born this way, how could I have sinned to cause this? Would I sin in my mother's womb? I spent hours trying to figure out how I could do that. Never made any sense to me. But sometimes our rabbis said that it was actually possible for an infant to sin in his mother's womb. And if it wasn't his sin, it would have been his mother's or his father's sin. I could understand that. I'll introduce you to my parents. A little bit later, you'll learn about them. But it wasn't an easy childhood. You grow up today and you want to be an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, a carpenter, a writer, something like that. And in my day, that was even more important because as a son, I would be responsible to care for and provide for my parents in their old age. But I was blind. What could I do? And so I started my life at age 13, and I stationed myself in the temple area where many people would come, and I rolled out my mat, and I held out my hand, and I begged for alms. That's how I had to make a living. That's how I had to support my parents. But really, that's where this story begins. Because one day, I was sitting there and I was begging for alms. And as I often did, I sensed a group of people around me. And it's true what they say about us, you know. We sense things that you don't sense. And I knew that there was someone there. And then I heard one of them speak to one of the others. And he said, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? that he would be born blind. I had heard such questions many times before, but his answer intrigued me. And I heard him say that neither this man nor his parents had sinned. This is not about cause and effect. This is not about blaming anyone, he said. In fact, he said, this disability was created so that the power and the glory of God might be seen. And then he said something that I've never forgotten. He said to his disciples, he said, while it is day, we must be at work. When the sun sets and the night comes, we cannot work. While I'm with you, you have the light. And then he said, I am the light. I have to be honest. I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. I am the light. But then I sensed him kneeling beside me. I actually felt his breath on my face. And it's true. I heard it with my own ears. He spit. I heard him spit. He spit on the ground. And the next thing I know, he was placing the moistened dirt, the clay that he had created from his own saliva onto my eyes. And then I heard him speak. And he said, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Part of me thought that this was just another cruel joke. I've been the object of many of those. But there was something about the way this man spoke to me. Something about his tone of voice that made me think, made me hope. And I had also, I had heard rumors. There were fables that sometimes the saliva of special men had healing powers. And so, in obedience to his command, and with just enough faith to think that maybe something good might finally happen to me, I began to walk to the Pool of Siloam. It wasn't easy. I mean, imagine walking through the streets of Jerusalem with mud cakes on my eyes. And it wasn't a short walk either from the temple to the Pool of Siloam. And I walked and I walked and I walked and I finally arrived at that pool. And I remember standing there, sensing its presence before me. And I had a sense of anticipation. My heart was even beating a little faster. Maybe, just maybe, this would work. And so I stepped into the shallow waters and I began to wash my eyes. And the dirt began to fall from my eyes. And how do you describe something you've never experienced before in your life? But shafts and beams of life began to just pierce through my eyes. And all of a sudden, there was light everywhere. And slowly, very slowly, things began to come into focus. Do you know what the first thing I saw was? My reflection. My own reflection in the water. And then I looked up and I saw the bluest sky. I saw the olive trees and I saw faces. I saw more faces. I'll never forget that. Well, what do you do when something like that happens to you? I began to run and jump through the streets of Jerusalem. I can see, I can see, I can see. And almost instinctively, I went back to my old neighborhood where my parents' home was. And I began to cry out. And before I could even get into my house, there was this great crowd of old neighbors and friends and people I had grown up with that had gathered around me. Celedonius, what has happened to you? And I said, I don't know. All I know is I met a man named Jesus. And he put mud on my eyes. And he told me to wash in Siloam. And I washed. And now I see. That's all I know. And then, believe it or not, they began to argue among themselves. I mean, argue. Some of them actually said, this cannot be Celadonius. I mean, it just looks like him. It can't be him. We know Celadonius. He was blind. I insisted, wait a minute, it is me. You know me. It's Celadonius. It's me, the man that you know. You know me. How could you say it? It's not me. Yeah. One of the things I've learned is that seeing eyes don't always see what they should see. And they argued amongst themselves as to who I was. And I kept insisting, it is I, it is Celadonius, it is I. And these neighbors. And they asked, take us to this man, where is he? And I said, I do not know. I had no idea where this Jesus was or who he was. I would not have recognized him on the street. And so they took me to the Pharisees. You've probably heard of the Pharisees. We think of them as the religious police, if you will. They love to stand by and count the infractions of others and hand out tickets, if you will, of violations to their law. That's what they love to do. And so they brought me before these Pharisees and explained what had happened and wanted some kind of explanation. And so the Pharisees began to question me. And this is really when the difficulty began. And they said, how did this happen to you? Tell us what has happened. And so I told them. I said, I was blind from birth. I met this man. He spit on the ground and he put the mud on my eyes and he told me to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I washed and now I see. That's what I told them. And then, just like the neighbors, those Pharisees began to argue amongst themselves. And some of them said, well, that man, the man he is talking about, they knew of this Jesus, of course. He is a sinner. He breaks our Sabbath laws. I forgot to mention to you that this had happened on the Sabbath day. And you know, the Pharisees have rules about the Sabbath. All kinds of rules. Hundreds of rules. Do you know that they had a rule that said you must not spit on the Sabbath? For if you spit on the Sabbath, you will make clay. And clay is used for bricks. And that is work. And you mustn't do that. So they argued among themselves. This man is a sinner. Who has done this? He broke the Sabbath law. Others said, but how could one do such things if he were not from God? And so they came back to me as if I knew. Tell us again, who is this man who did this? That was a good question. I hadn't really thought of that. Who is this man? I knew that I could get in trouble for my answer. But I said to them, the best I knew, I said, he is a prophet. Next thing I know, they were calling my parents forward. In their minds, they thought that, well, he must not have been born blind, this man. And so let's bring in his parents. They would know whether he was born blind or not. So they brought my parents in. You have to understand, my parents are very, very ordinary, hardworking people. They were not used to being interrogated by the Pharisees. They lived in fear of such things. And they said to my parents, they said, tell us, is this your son? Was he born blind? Tell us, how did this happen? Who did this to him? My parents, fearfully, trembling, said to them, that this is our son, we can affirm. That he was born blind, we can affirm. All that is true. How this happened, how he can see, who did this to him, we have no idea. He is of age. Ask him. And as I said, there are some things that seeing eyes will not see. Even my own parents. And so they came back to me. And this time they were absolutely infuriated. And they shouted at me, "Give glory to God. Tell the truth. This man is a sinner." And I said, "I don't know what this man is. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind, I washed, and now I see. That's all I know." And they were so angry, infuriated at me. And they came back to me again and they said, "Tell us who this man is." I was getting very upset by this point. And so I blurted out at them. I said, "I don't know who this man is, but you keep asking about him. Maybe you want to be his disciple." That was pushing it. They didn't like that at all. And then they said to me, "We are not his disciples. We are disciples of Moses. God spoke to Moses and gave him his law, and we follow that law. We are Moses' disciples, not his disciples." And then I spoke to them. I spoke to them more boldly than I ever would have expected. And I said, "Here you are, calling this man a sinner. And yet we all know that never in the history of the world has a man born blind been given his sight. Now we all know, you know, in your own law, that God does not listen to sinners. He listens only to those who do his will. And so how can you say this man is a sinner when he has done such wonderful things?" And they looked at me and they sneered. And they said, "You are steeped in sin from birth." And they cast me out. And they cast me out on the streets and they cast me out of their fellowship. And it was no small thing in those days. That means I would be banned socially from the community. And so there I was once again out on the streets near the temple. I had spent most of my life there. And here I was again. I was there on the street. I'd lived most of my life as an outcast. And here I was, an outcast again for a different reason. And I began to realize that sometimes the people who are most blind are not the people that we realize. The people who think they see the most, the people who think they know the most, like these Pharisees, are oftentimes the most blind of all. And they have their own little system of rules and beliefs and regulations, and it's an entirely closed system. And they use that to judge other people. Sometimes those people are more blind than others. I had been rejected by my neighbors. I'd been rejected, in a way, by my own parents. I had been rejected by the religious leaders. And I came to see that these people, perhaps, were more blind than I was. I realized that. I wondered if they had read the prophet Isaiah. Our prophet Isaiah had predicted that a time would come at the end of the age when the eyes of the blind would be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. I thought about that. I thought about that for a long time, for the rest of the day, and I was wandering around just really in a daze, if you can imagine, And then I had a man who walked up to me. Of course, I hadn't seen him before. I hadn't seen many people before. I just received my sight a few hours earlier. But there he was in front of me, and he asked me a question. He looked at me straight in the eyes, and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Wow, that's quite an introduction. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And I thought about that. In our sacred writings, the prophet Daniel wrote about one called the Son of Man. And the prophet Daniel said that the Son of Man would be one who would come at the very end of the ages, and he would judge the nations. I knew about that. But when he asked me that question, I knew immediately who it was. It was him. It was Jesus. He found me. And he asked me that question. And how do you answer a question like that? And so I said to him, "Who is he, sir?" And then he said to me, "The one you're looking at is him. The one you're speaking to is him." When I tell my story, I like to say that it's then that I received my sight. It's then that I saw. I had started out the day thinking that this was a man named Jesus. That's all I knew. A little bit later, I thought about it and I thought, well, he must be at least a prophet sent from God. But now I knew. Now I knew that he was the light that had come into the world. And that light, that blinding light, if you will, had burst forth in my heart. And I even understood at that moment that light somehow brought cleansing from the guilt of sin. Just like I washed the dirt off my eyes, this one would cleanse me from the dirt of sin. When he said those words to me, "I who speak to you am he. I, you're looking at him, he." I could not help but fall on my knees and bow my head and worship him. "I believe," I said. "I believe." I don't know how many times I said it, but when I rose up, I realized there was a whole crowd of people standing around. And some of them had a very angry look on their face. Yes, the Pharisees were back. And then Jesus rose tall and he spoke words I will never forget. He said, "For judgment I have come into this world. That those who are blind may see, and those who think they see will be revealed as blind." Somebody, a Pharisee no doubt, shouted out from the back of the crowd, and he said, "Are you saying we are blind?" And Jesus responded, and he said, "Well, if you knew that you were blind, you would not be guilty. But since you claim that you see, the guilt of your sin remains." And then it all became very clear to me. And I began to understand what Jesus was talking about. I began to understand that the dividing line between humanity is not between those who are blind and those who see, as I had always thought. No, the dividing line between people really is the line between those who know they are blind and those who think they see, but are in fact blind. And what I came to learn is that there are people much like these Pharisees who think they know it all, who think they have everything down just right. Usually it's religious people. People, I think, perhaps like you, who come to church on Sunday. And we have the law of God, just like these Pharisees. And we try our very best to live by the word of God. And we organize our life around keeping the scriptures and doing what's right and being right, not only in what we do, but how we think and what we believe. And we use the law of God as a weapon to lash out at others rather than a sword that divides our own heart. And so I began to understand what Jesus was talking about when he said, "For judgment I have come into this world." It's like the sun, the light of the sun. When the sun shines, if it hits an object, it casts a shadow. It is not the purpose of that light, that sun, to cast a shadow. But it does. It is not the purpose of the Son of God to bring judgment, to cast a shadow. But when it hits an object who rejects the light, that's what happens. And so I began to understand that there are those who think they see, and they think they have everything figured out, and they use that to judge others, and they are the ones who are really blind. But then there are those who know they are blind, and they come to the light. And the funny thing about living in the light, it's not easy, really, because the light exposes us. The light is constantly exposing our sin and the darkness and the dirt within our own hearts. But what's wonderful about the light is it also moves us towards forgiveness and towards change. I understood that far better when just a few months later, after I had met him, after he had given me my sight, I saw the Master hanging on a Roman cross. And I understood at that moment that he had come not only to expose sin, but to die for sin. Well, this is starting to sound like a sermon. I didn't intend it to be such. I just wanted to tell my story. And that's my story. I, Celadonius, was blind. But now I see. Now I really see.